But let me begin by being quite blunt. This pandemic has been beyond difficult for everyone, and we've all had to adapt and adapt fast. Fortunately, though, we are going through this at a time when the world has never been so connected, and the scientific and the research advances that we've seen and the leaps in recent decades have allowed us to communicate far better than we would have been otherwise. In fact, this conference comes almost 30 years to the day after British scientist Sir Tim Berners-Lee set out his plans to create the World Wide Web in 1990. And he sent his proposals over to fellow scientists in Kern, the European Nuclear Research Agency in Switzerland, and that would lay the foundations of the web and change the world really forever, changing the way we live, the way we work, the way we connect, and the way we learn as well. In fact, the impact on education and the sharing of knowledge has been quite frankly staggering. Yet, even in this pandemic, just 15 years ago, if it had been just 15 years ago, our response would have been so much harder. We wouldn't have had smartphones, we would have had slower internet speeds, we would have had a lack of infrastructure, and it would have made it tougher for families and tougher for businesses and students. And that's not for one moment, though, to underplay the very real challenge that has been faced from everybody on this call here today and across the globe. And we speak here in the midst of what are still national restrictions. But however, I am clear, and the government is clear, that education must be prioritised, including higher education, because we cannot ask the younger generation to put their lives on hold or their academic journeys on hold. And personally, I think that the impact on social mobility would be absolutely devastating if we were to do that. And this is something that I'm really passionate about. I was the first in my family to go to university. It helped change the course of my life, and it will be doing so for so many students who are studying today. So we cannot and we will not risk a lost generation of young people. But it is also possible to keep higher education going because of the innovations in technology that we have managed to utilise. The ability to offer blended learning has been enabled because universities can be so much more flexible. They can reduce the number of people on campuses at one time to be COVID secure by utilising the technologies available. And these innovations have meant that we've not just been able to continue to progress, but really that we have made leaps as well, and making sure that learning continues to be at that same level of quality, if not higher in some instances. And I think, you know, that is thanks to the hard work of universities, including everyone that's been a part of this journey, from lecturers to administrators to support staff. And I want to use this opportunity to once again thank everyone who has worked tirelessly to ensure that students can continue to learn and that research can continue. It's one thing the government prioritising it, but it's the people in the sector that actually make that a reality. So many universities, as we know, managed to get online their material online and live within 24 hours. In fact, many have spoken to me about how the pandemic has encouraged the use of technology and digitalisation that otherwise would have potentially taken up to 10 years. So it really has rocketed those developments and transformations that were already beginning. And there are so many innovative and dynamic examples. And I truly don't believe that these are going to end with the pandemic. I think that this has sparked a new era for higher education, one where universities can offer much more flexible learning and technology can enrich those courses and the accessibility of those courses for all. And as organisations for debate of policy issues that have science, research, technology, of innovation elements, I know that many of you will have seen and continue to be involved in this change. And it's always hard for me when I speak at these things to single out examples in a speech, as I've seen so many. But I did want to quickly highlight a couple. So I recently visited Imperial College London, and I saw how their blended offer was putting in place an in postgraduate study in a business class that I attended, which was catering for both students there virtually and students that were self-isolating, students that were still overseas. And they were all interacting at the same time with the lecturers' questions and with one another. And this kind of resilience and innovation that you've been showing is benefiting students right now, and I believe it will lead to changes in the delivery and accessibility of higher education forever. And it is because of this kind of innovation that we are home to some of the world's leading universities that attract some of the very best lecturers and researchers. And it's also why international students continue to come to this, to the United Kingdom. And take Sotheby's Institute of Art as another example, a magnet for international students in particular. And many of them haven't managed to travel as of yet, but the technology that they've been utilizing has meant that there hasn't been a gap in provision at all, despite those huge numbers. And that's also something that's true across the board, because this has been a global challenge and a global pandemic, as we know. But I think we have been developing somewhat of an international reputation for the way that we've handled it in this sense. And my message here today is very simple. It's a massive thank you for the lengths that you've taken to put students first. And I want you to continue to do this and for us to support you in that mission. Earlier in the year, I set up a higher education task force to bring together the sector to meet the aims of both during the pandemic, but also afterwards. And I hope that this will be a long-term tool that will mean that together, both the government and higher education institutions can work closely and collaboratively, because clearly the government has a role to play here too. That's why we announced our stabilisation package for the sector in May to give certainty, why we announced the restructuring regime, why BEIS announced nearly 280 million of government funding as well. Because it's important that we do support our students, that we protect our world-class research base, and we recognise the critical role that universities play in both their local regions and the economy at large. And I personally try my best to champion the work of universities for these very reasons. And in return, my ask is that you make sure that you continue to prioritise student experience in education, which I know you do so well. For instance, the University of Worcestershire has developed an online case study format for undergraduate paramedics. And this provides images and videos of scenes and patients to create realistic simulated patients, in which students can really begin to question the patients through microphones and chat functions. So bringing alive the scenarios. And this means that we can begin to think about these issues and the topics in a more broader format, and how we can transfer student skills to employability skills as well, and utilize technology for that. So looking at things like project management, leadership, collaboration, presentational and communication skills. I know that De Montfort University, for instance, has delivered a completely new scheme, the COVID-19 Remote Voluntary Digital Support Scheme for businesses. It's a bit of a mouthful, but it is a good scheme, supporting the Leicester SME business community. And now is also the time to make universities much more flexible and accessible and more innovative. This is certainly a priority for our government. The economy is in a process of rapid change. It's driven by the internet and remote communications, but the pandemic is accelerating these changes. So we do need to encourage more students to be taking STEM subjects to meet the skills and the future skills and fill those skills gaps that we have. And you'll have seen that the other month that we announced our commitment to introduce a lifelong learning loan entitlement as part of our lifetime skills guarantee. This will be a game changer, I truly believe that, in making higher education much more flexible and unlocking higher education as a tool for people in all different ages and stages of their life, and really being transformational in terms of social mobility. And this is why we're also driving initiatives such as establishing institutes of technology to help meet STEM skills needs, and working with employers and local enterprise partnerships. And we funded the Institute of Coding to help improve digital skills at level 6 and 7. And I'm sure that the sector will rise to the challenges ahead, building on the sound foundations of what are already in place. It's also important to note before I finish, and I'm sure I'm over time, so I will hurry, but that we have also commissioned with the chair of the Office for Students, Michael Barber, a review of how digital technology has been utilized to deliver remote teaching and learning across the sector since the start of the pandemic. And I think the findings from this will be especially important when we look at what some of the challenges are, particularly around things like digital poverty and making sure that we can really utilize technology to the true extent of the tools available. And this review will give us some idea of how universities can better seize these opportunities too, and some examples of fantastic best practice that we can share. And I know that the pace of change this year has been, quite frankly, phenomenal. But my faith in your ability has risen just as fast. And so you've shown yourselves to be extremely capable and incredible at things that a year ago we would have questioned whether they were possible. So I have every faith that as a sector, everyone will keep pushing those boundaries as you have done, and always ensuring that students are prioritised and that we can achieve genuine social mobility. So I look forward to working with you over the coming year, which I hope we manage to return to somewhat more of normality over the progress of that year. But I also look forward to utilising the lessons that we've learnt over the last few months, and also the skills that we've gained and the advances that we have achieved as well. So thank you.